Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
We built this city on Star Wars bones.
Star Wars. This is my magazine or your magazine?
That's my magazine.
That's your magazine. Okay. Because yeah. I was just looking at it in my car literally 5 seconds ago, and I wanted to make sure I didn't bring it in accidentally.
Yes, it's a quality issue.
It's a quality issue. But yeah, Elder Scrolls 6. Whatever they're going to call it.
Yeah.
Bone Marrowville.
Yeah. Bonesville.
Bonesville.
Bone Zone.
Bone Zone. If they improve the interface a little, just a smidge, because like that's why I couldn't get into Skyrim, because I was just like, I'm like, got my fingers all over the keyboard, and I'm like, I don't know why.
They optimized Skyrim's interface for controller.
Oh, did they?
That's why it feels weird on the keyboard and mouse. That's why I have it on. That's why I have it on console. And that's why Oblivion and Morrowind, respectively, both felt kind of weird on console. You're just like, why is this?
I never really played either of those. Oh. I mean,
you know what? You should play Morrowind. Like
Morrowind.
You should really play Morrowind. It's really good.
Okay.
Morrowind is you can there. I mean, the graphics are pretty dated at this point, but it still looks decent enough.
Does it have Khajiit?
It does have Khajiit.
Ooh,
yeah,
Khajiit did nothing wrong.
I think you would specifically really like Morrowind. I think Morrowind is the best of the Elder Scrolls games.
I mean, I like the world that they built. I mean, I like
that's why Morrowind is so cool.
I like generic fantasy world of Elder Scrolls.
See, that's why Morrowind is so cool, because Morrowind is not generic fantasy world, because the area of Morrowind is like a really weird area in the world of Elder Scrolls. So there's like giant mushrooms, and there's these things called Silt Striders, which are these huge bugs that you ride around
in. Yeah, I think I know that from somewhere or other.
It's really good. The only thing that's bad in the game is Cliff Racers. But if you're on computer, which you should be, because if you're playing Morrowind, what are you doing? You can install an easy mod that removes Cliff Racers from the game.
Is Cliff Racers like a mini game or like a bad guy?
Cliff Racers are a flying enemy. And they're super obnoxious because they have a huge threat range. So in addition to them just like following you and like coming out of nowhere and suddenly you're being attacked by a Cliff Racer, sometimes you'll get into situations where you'll hear the combat music. It'll be like dun 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 dun, and you'll look up and like in the fucking distance there's a Cliff Racer like super high straight up. They're a really obnoxious part of the game that they're bad. Just use the mod to get rid of them.
All right. Take your word for it.
Yeah. Just get Morrowind, use the Cliff Racer mod to remove them, and play it and enjoy one of the best RPGs ever made.
Here comes Cliff Racer. He's a demon on wheels.
Wings. Demon on wings.
He's a demon and he's gonna be chasing after someone.
Bow. Bow.
Ba-da-da. This is still like one of the best opening theme songs to a show that like they don't match at all. Like, the just like
smooth
da, 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 da,
and there's like fucking buzz saws.
He's chasing with you in the powerful Mach 5.
Yeah, interestingly enough, it's not the same lyrics, but that is the same exact rhythm and sound as the Japanese opening for
it. Well, I mean, like
the Japanese opening goes, instead of saying "Go Speed Racer," it's Mach a go go.
Yeah, Mach a go go. I knew that. But that's all Japanese animation is. It's like you have this like insane crazy show, and then it always has the ending song, which is always like do 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 do.
Yes, that's Made in Abyss. Made in Abyss is like that. The intro and ending are super cute, and it's like that show's fucking great. I highly recommend it. Even if you're not an anime fan, you should watch Made in Abyss. It's
Made
really fucking
in
good.
Abyss. Yeah, you told me about that one.
Yeah, it's really fucking.
But that
good.
Yeah, that's
it was my anime of the year last year.
Well, it's always like next time on Death Master 8 Bajillion, and then it's always at the end song is always like.
You'll never win, Shokugu. The Tokugawa shogunate will be reigning forever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's but yeah, I look forward to that. And actually the Assassin's Creed Donkey, I think, said it best on his video review of E3, where he's like, "Oh shit, Assassin's Creed, ancient Greece," and then it shows them like doing like one of those follow missions that are like the all Assassin's Creed games, where you're just following a guy while he's talking, and he's like, "Oh shit, it's an Assassin's Creed game," which is so true, because like I want to play the Ancient Egypt one so bad, but it's like at the same time I'm like, I just don't feel like doing like following.
I was done, dude.
All the story.
It was a snore fest.
They get so bogged down in that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how they, I don't know why they don't just follow what Middle Earth did with Shadows, because, like, that game did Assassin's Creed plus Batman together and better than both.
Yeah. And it's, and a lot of, they even had, like, this the stupid, like,
we ain't had nothing to eat but maggoty bread for 3 stinking days.
You know what always sucked is that no matter how hard you try, you could never do a complete wipe of all the bosses.
In what?
In Shadows of Mordor.
You can.
No.
Because you can, I've done it, because you can, if you enslave all of them, you can call all of them to you, and then you can use the thing to blow up all their heads at once, and it kills everything.
Oh, okay.
You need to have them all enslaved, and you kill them all in one shot.
All right. Okay, well, that will work then. That'll work. Hey guys, welcome to Game Classy. I am your host Joe, and with me as always is my co-host Steve.
Yeah, fresh.
Who's obviously played Shadows of Mordor way too many times.
And I've watched Lord of the Rings recently.
I'm halfway
through Return of the King right now. Well, we're gonna finish it when.
Yeah. It's not like you don't know how it ends.
Right, the king returns.
The king, and then he says. You stand and you bow to no man.
We just got to the part where Elrond whips out Anduril, reforged from the shards of Narsil. Flame of the West. Forged from the shards of Narsil. Yeah.
My favorite part of that is still, I think I've said this on the podcast before, is the guy who's sitting in the tent with Aragorn, and it's just like, or he comes into the tent and he goes like, it's like, look at my hat. He's got this giant helmet on. It's like, who's this guy? What's he doing? Why is it? It's probably John Howe just chilling out.
Or Peter Jackson's buddy.
It's one of Peter Jackson's friends. Just chilling out. Mm-hmm. I got nothing else to do. Yeah, so you watch the extended edition Hobbits,
of course.
Right? Yeah. Has that changed your opinions of The Hobbit?
I mean, I already liked The Hobbit movies, but I found that, so the extended editions are interesting. So the Lord of the Rings extended editions, I feel, are superior films, of course.
Yeah.
However, the movies, with the sole exception of the fact they cut out Saruman's death from the theatrical release. Saruman doesn't die in the theatrical release of Return of the King.
You mean where the tower collapses?
No, where he falls off the tower. Not Sauron.
Saruman. Yes.
Yeah, he's cut out of out of Return of the King.
Yes, I knew that.
So other than that, which was bizarre, the stories are still pretty complete for the Lord of the Rings trilogy. But for the Hobbit theatrical releases, they cut like a lot of content from those movies. Like,
yeah, the Battle of Five Armies is like half the movie is.
Right.
Like,
yeah, the theatrical release for Battle of Five Armies is half the movie because it was rated R and they cut a bunch of the violence out. And
it's
then,
great, too.
And they cut out like a lot of characters. Like, they cut out Alfred from the Battle of Five Armies from the theatrical release. But yeah, so as far as a complete and quality film, the Hobbit trilogy is served far better as the extended edition. Like, it stands as apart from the other, you know, like the Lord of the Rings trilogy. You can go and watch the theatrical releases and be like, okay, but for the Hobbit, like the difference is so stark. I would never recommend anyone not watch the extended editions of the Hobbit.
Yeah. I mean, my feeling is if you're going to watch the Hobbit, either watch the extended edition all the way through, or you could watch
the animated one
or the super cut down version. That adventure. The world has ever known.
They also cut a bunch of the music out in the theatrical release. Like the Goblin King song is way longer in the extended edition.
Yeah, but it's not as good as the animated versions.
I think it's better than the animated versions.
No, that's bullshit. That's an amazing song.
Yeah, I don't. That's the thing. There's too much like 70s funk in the animated one that like throws me off.
It's awesome. It's the best part of that.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like the music in the in that one. No.
I love it. I love the funk.
Yeah,
they need to bring more funk into the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it's not my thing. It's gonna be a no from me, dog.
Nah, dog.
But it's also got me pretty excited about the $1 billion Amazon franchise.
You know, as much as I hate Jeff Bezos because he's kind of like a shitty human being.
Oh, he's definitely a shitty human being.
Yeah.
No question. He's definitely a shitty human being.
He's his love of science fiction and fantasy has been kind of a boon to the entertainment industry because he's like, oh, yeah, they canceled The Expanse. Can we pick that up? Let's just do that right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, sweet. Sweet. Yeah. We'll do that. So it's Expanse is
right.
gonna get gone.
He's like a shitlord, but it's like, yeah, you do like some stuff that I like. I guess you fuck. Well, could you give some money to poor people? Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like the whole point is too, is like, it's like, oh man, he's a shitlord. Why do shitlords have to like what we like? I'm gonna go back to painting my Games Workshop. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, shitlords
my
like
hobby's
everything.
Full of shitlords.
Everyone likes shitlords. Shitlords like everything. Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, my hobby's full of shitlords. I'll go watch The Last Jedi again. There's no shitlords involved in The Last Jedi. Oh, shit.
Yikes.
People are awful.
Yeah.
You know what's the funny thing about that whole thing with the Star Wars thing?
Mm.
With that girl who played Rose?
The Star Wars man babies?
Yeah, the Star Wars man babies. Is there all the people who grew up on the worst Star Wars trilogy?
Yeah.
The prequels. That's the obvious worst trilogies, and they're the ones who are all butthurt that... Yep. Oh no, there's a girl in my film. Yeah,
like, the trilogies you grew up with fucking suck. Shut up, kid. Get out of here.
It's like, look, I understand. Like, Rose didn't have the best story arc in that movie. Like, the whole gambling planet thing, terrible. Should have been cut for the movie. Her whole monologue about love saving us, yeah, it was kind of dumb. But you know what? I really don't care that much. It's just a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, it's a Star Wars movie. It's not
Star Wars.
It's not important. It's just a Star Wars movie.
The Star Wars. Yeah, that thing. But yes, I am excited about the $1 billion Amazon.
I didn't mind her not being cut because I like her because she's cute. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I'm easy to please.
Yeah, I'm old where I'm just like, I just don't care. I just want a Star Wars movie that's back to 2 hours long.
But I didn't mind that part actually because that felt like a very like classic like black and white child morality lesson.
Oh yeah, which is what Star Wars needs
right.
again. But so, no, half that movie too is the. Oh no! You play both sides. There's, you know, we sell to both the Empire and the Rebellion. I was like, I don't
yeah,
care
well,
about
that's a,
this.
I, that's it. I liked that like little kid like morality yeah. thing that they put in like for you know because it's a children's movie.
Yeah.
But I also really liked Kylo Ren in that movie. Like he completely redeemed his character, and I liked the overall theme of that movie is like fuck the past.
Yeah.
Like, and that's one of the reasons it's great that people that the fucking man babies are so butthurt about it because that movie directly challenged them and said like, no, like what you think is important isn't important, like. You need to, you know, go forward.
It's too bad that when J.J. Abrams directs the new movie...
Please, Jambrams.
Jambrams directs the new movie, he's going to, like, completely throw all that out, and you're going to be angry again.
Maybe.
Yeah, because J.J. Abrams is one of those man babies who's going to be like, no, her parents are actually going to be Kylo Ren from the future who traveled back in time. Some bullshit like that.
If they
that.
Put the Terminator in, then I'll be okay. It's just actually the Terminator. It's just Schwarzenegger. That would be an ambitious crossover.
Who owns the Terminator? What studio?
20th Century Fox.
Ooh, if Disney buys Fox. Yeah. We could have it.
And then they'll have Predator as well. Actually, if
that movie's going to be terrible.
That movie looks awful. Which is a shame because Predators was actually pretty good.
Yeah, and the fact that it's being directed by Shane Black, who I really enjoy as a writer-director.
Yeah.
Even though he's kind of a man-baby himself.
Well, maybe it'll be a surprising movie. Maybe it won't be as bad as it looks.
I'm going to side on the side of pessimism.
Oh, it'll probably be shit. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying maybe, like, it's been a while since I've seen a movie. It's been a while since I have seen a really, really shitty trailer for a franchise I'm interested in. So it might be like, oh, this is pretty good. Like, I thought... I thought the last Alien movie was decent. Covenant. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I think, in my opinion, it was. I really liked Prometheus. I know people really, really shit on Prometheus.
Prometheus is a very beautiful movie that's really dumb.
Yes. I thought Covenant actually retroactively made Prometheus even better. Because it really feels like that. Like, I know they're a good quality amount of years apart. But if you watch those as a complete film, it's like, oh.
You know a movie I watched yesterday that was fucking amazing? Hereditary.
Oh, with the fucking weird-looking little girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That movie is divisive. Like, people really...
Whoa.
Yeah, people either they're like, holy shit, or they're like, that's the biggest piece of shit ever made.
There was a lot of, like, it's an A24 movie, so it's like, they're very, very...
It's horror, right?
Horror. Yeah.
I want to watch a horror film.
It's A24, so I always say, like, did you like The Witch or The Vivitch? The Vivitch. Did you see that one?
I was in the room while The Vivitch was being watched, and it was not very good.
If you didn't like The Vivitch, you might not like that movie. I didn't like The Vivitch when I first saw it.
So it's a watch-at-home movie.
It, I, You know, I think a lot of people, like, this is part of the thing.
Speaking of the Vavitch, you know that the Funko Pop prevalence is so mighty, they made a Black Tom Pop.
You mean Black Phillip?
Yes.
Black, would you like to live deliciously?
Yes.
Would thou like to live
like,
deliciously?
That's how penetrative the fucking Funko Pop is. Yeah. It made a fucking pop from something from the Vavitch.
So I watched the Vavitch in the theater, and I hated it. Then I watched it at home, and I'm like, this movie's way better than I gave it credit for in the theater. I think it was because I was a little drunk in the theater.
Mm. That usually makes things better. Usually it's the opposite. Yeah. You get back, and you're like, this movie's not good. What the hell was
I
thinking?
So, I saw Hereditary in the theater, and I was a little drunk.
Mm.
Again.
Okay.
Because I like to get a little drunk when I'm watching a horror film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I liked it a lot.
Okay.
But I
do want to see it.
I think one of the problems is you know the movie what's the one that just came out wherever it's like you gotta be quiet.
Oh, The Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place. Like a lot of people were bitching and moaning about people like being farting. Loud in A Quiet Place.
Like, dude, I would have made sure to eat something like beanie, like yeah, heavy beans.
Heavy
so,
beans.
Like, so like just like
I'm the type of person though. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, so the movies that I always went to were very loud. They were very audience participatory.
Yeah,
so like, which is fun. And I'm not saying it's just like the stereotypical like black people in a movie theater. No, it's everyone in a movie theater is loud. You yell, you laugh, you know, it's like that's just the culture that I'm from. So when I go to a movie, I laugh and I gasp and I do all sorts of stuff. And people make fun of me. Like people go see movies with me because they're like, what's wrong with you?
Well, they're like, supposed to be like I like to read the room when it comes to films.
Yeah, well, that's
like,
true too.
Because I've been in several movies where like it became like a raucous thing where everyone was like you know,
yeah.
And then I've also been in films where like everyone is fucking dead silent. That was Avengers actually. Like when I went to see the Infinity War,
yeah.
Like everyone was just fucking. It was a fully packed theater and no one made any sound.
Oh, that sucks.
It was really weird. I was like, why is it? Oh, you know, a few of the jokes got some laughs, but other than that, it was like dead silence. I was just like, this is fucking weird.
Yeah, it's dumb. I went and saw Hereditary and I'm like, there's a scene that happened fairly early in the movie where everybody in the theater just made an audible gasp and we're like,
nice.
Like that. Like, and I looked over and I was with Kevin and
Antichrist Willem Dafoe getting his dick chopped off, guess?
No, because at that point in Antichrist, you're like, what the fuck am I watching?
Lars von Trier, what the fuck is wrong with you?
No, you never say that because you automatically know what's wrong with Lars von Trier.
It's true.
He's a Nazi.
It's also true.
But the, God, I hate Lars von Trier movies. In this movie, but we're doing that and there's another scene where you know, I'm sitting there, I'm a 40-year-old guy, and there's a bunch of like teenagers behind us, and there's this teenager in front of us, and everyone in the back is like, there's this one scene where everyone's like, oh my god, like do you see that, and the guys in front are like, shut the fuck up. I'm like, dude, it's a fucking horror movie, just enjoy it.
Yeah, calm down, buddy.
Yeah, calm down. Like, and that's the same thing, A Quiet Place, people were getting mad because people were like
yeah, well, A Quiet Place would have driven me insane because, like, I don't mind people are eating in the movie theater because, you know, it's kind of what you do. But, like, if the movie is totally silent, I had to hear just a whole bunch of people chewing, it would fucking drive me insane.
It might.
Which is why I didn't go see it in theater. But, I mean, I'm also not going to go to see a film that I know is about fucking silence and then bitch about it being noisy in the theater.
Yeah.
Like, you know the movie's quiet. What's your problem? Like, if you don't want to hear people chewing or, like, farting or coughing, don't go to the movie.
I can't tell if you'd like Hereditary.
I'll probably give it a go.
I would say give it a go.
I'm a horror fan.
Yeah.
So I will give any horror movie a shot, even the worst looking ones.
It's definitely, like, if I had to make a comparison, it reminded me a lot of 70s British horror.
Like Hammer? Or?
Yeah, not Hammer, but more I guess you would say like Wicker Man almost. Wicker Man-ish.
Okay. The weird. The auteur British horror.
And it has a little bit of a Rosemary's Baby vibe to it. And
all right. So it's retro. The Vavitch was
not,
like that too.
It's not retro, well, but it's got kind of like that feel to it.
They have the
it.
Old the old kind of pacing and
it's
like
it's very old school pacing.
The Vavitch was like that.
Not
like nothing happens till the end of the movie.
Yeah, no shit. What thou likes to live deliciously. Fucking favorite part of that movie. I would recommend it. There's literally a scene in there where it's probably about 20 minutes in where I was like, holy fucking shit. All right, like, cool. I can't believe
I'll
they did
it.
This
I'll
in
watch
this movie.
It.
Yeah.
Speaking of horror movies, I saw The Ritual, which is the recent Netflix one. It's a Netflix movie.
Oh,
they
okay.
made. It's really good.
All right.
I highly recommend it.
Oh, is that the one
it.
Where the guys go into the forest?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I was like into it, and then like at the end when they had the big like reveal, I was like, "This fucking badass!"
I didn't go that far, but yeah. It was pretty good.
I was just like, "Yes!"
All right.
Well, normally my issue is like with films like that is they never give you a good like shot of the enemy, I guess, the antagonist. But that one like went full frontal, as it were.
Went full frontal. I left my phone in my car.
You blew it.
I did. I'm going to pause it for a second so that way I can grab the phone so we could do the viewer mail.
Oh, do you want me to just put it up on a laptop?
Oh, you want to do that?
Yeah, I can grab a laptop.
It should be the top one on the webpage because I had it stickied.
Why is there two doors?
There's two doors. Because it's a suite.
There we are. Sunday, Monday, fail bag.
Yeah, We also, something I wanted to mention on the podcast before we got into the mailbag was I started watching the Twitch, the Games Workshop Twitch.
Oh, yeah.
With their streaming games. It's fucking great.
Yeah,
it's like, fun. The way that they stream games is should be the be-all, end-all of how games are streamed.
You should be able to just push down on the keypad now. Yeah, I want to start streaming Shade Spire and Age of Sigmar and stuff.
Age of Sigmar?
Yeah.
You just got to get the camera to be able to go over the table.
Yeah,
it's like the over the table view is the view.
Yeah, well, we have two webcams, and I want to get a snake.
Snake.
A snake holder.
Snake.
Snake. Dun 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 dun. And have that be able to move it and set it. Yeah. Have an over the webcam, I want a table shot and I want an over the top.
The problem with that is also like with Shadespire, you need to do the poker thing where they could see your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And if, like, because that's big. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
So that way when people are watching, they're like, oh, he has a
Sharpfall card. I would need a third camera for Shadespire because I would need to do two on the hands. And then
you could do it over the top.
Oh, you know what I could do? I could actually do, I could set up a blinder and have both of we play with our hands face up on the table.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can see, like, clearly what it is, and then I just pick it up from the blinder so our opponents can't see.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, that's probably what I'd end up doing. Because then that way everyone... Because then you'd get a really... Because I see a lot of Magic tournaments and stuff, and, like, it's... the way Magic tournaments... The way they successfully do it with Magic tournaments is there's someone who's... Basically, there's the people talking and commentating. There's the people playing. There's the camera of the play space. But then there is a block on the side of the board where someone the information of what is in their hands is being relayed to someone not commentating, who's updating what's in their hands, he's like typing out what's in their hands super fast, and like that's how you see like the list of cards in their hands. Because it's too hard to keep track because people shuffle their cards.
And also in Magic it's real, like you're pulling cards, you're flipping cards,
right? Even in Shadespire you're thumbing through your cards, like, so like, you know, having it all just like flat up on a surface, not moving, so everyone can see what's in the hands.
But you only have like how many cards in your hand at max, like 7?
No, there's no maximum hand size. So like on in decks like the Magorfine Stall, where your first turn is 4 actions of just drawing cards, you can get a lot of cards in your hand.
I guess, yeah, that makes sense. All right, so we did a mailbag.
That's something I'm looking forward to do.
Because I feel really bad about the amount of Games Workshop that we've covered lately.
Why? That's the big news.
I know, but it's like, it's not our fault that no other companies are really any big releases or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's because it's the build-up to Gen Con.
It is.
You know, all the big stuff's coming out at Gen Con.
Well,
so.
Origins and Gen Con. I think Origins is this weekend.
Yeah, Origins is not as big as Gen Con, though, for releases.
Yeah, Origins... More board gamey stuff.
Yeah, I got my Eldritch Cock, by the way.
Yes, I saw that you had that. Is it a good book?
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
it is a amazing companion to the Vaginas Are Magic. And in addition to Vaginas Are Magic, it is yet another Lamentations Free RPG Day book that has new rules in it.
Ooh,
like it's he's they're both of these are test beds for the next edition, as it were, because he's been working on a new core book for fucking ever, and it looks like this is going to be the new Magic changes to really make Lamentations stand on its own. And I love the Magic changes.
Well, if you actually go to Gen Con this year, you could probably meet Raggy. So
I don't know if I want to meet Raggy.
Why not? You'd never meet your heroes.
No, you never meet your heroes.
All right, so because of that, I did a mailbag. It's been a while since we did a mailbag. And so our usual gang of misfits.
The usual suspects.
The usual suspects have added their comments to it. Anthony Carroll asks, if the Ultramarines can take a small Eastern European car, why can't the Dark Angels? This is in relation to a meme I put up on the same day.
And it's
The Dark Angels can. It's just a fallen car, and so they have to take it to the Rock and interrogate the small Eastern European car.
Welcome to the Rock.
Welcome to the Rock. Put it in H. Put it in H. It gives 18 hectares to a liter of kerosene.
You know, I hope there's some more Nicolas Cage action movies. I really want to see some
more. His new one with the Parent?
Oh, the Parents. Yeah, I heard it was pretty good.
Yeah. I've been told it's not enough Nicolas Cage, but the stuff when Nicolas Cage is on there, pure gold.
I see. Okay.
Daniel V1K'd asks, in the grim dark 41st millennium, is Earth-Chan still hot?
I mean, Earth-Chan has become an Ojo-sama, so sort of. Like, if you're into that.
If you're into that thing, is that when it's like a personification or something?
Ojo-sama is like a lordly woman. Like anytime it's like a hotter older woman, you wouldn't call her a chan. You'd call her Ojo-sama.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. So I only know about this through the brief interactions on like Reddit of things about Earth Chan.
Yeah, it's just a humorous joke that originated from the flat earthers.
Yes.
And you know,
Earth is not flat.
Earth is not flat. Exactly.
Earth Chan is not flat.
Yes, exactly.
And in the 41st millennium, because of global warming, Earth Chan is incredibly hot.
Yes. Super hot.
Super hot.
Super hot. Super.
Does GW dropping most of the old metal Imperial Guard range without moving them to last chance to buy indicate incoming plastics, or are all those screaming online after failing to buy them for the last 20 years out of luck? There's not going to be new plastic guard.
No, they're not going to move them to last chance. They're just going to get rid of them, and then they'll maybe come back for those limited.
Things. That's exactly what it'd be. So if Guard have a new book coming out, or it's going to be a major Guard release. They probably will maybe bring them back for a look, it's a limited time thing. We're gonna open up the molds again.
Yeah, I mean, I understand some people like are maybe a little frustrated, but dude, it is 20 fucking years. Like,
No, it's way longer than 20 years. Those metal guys have been out since like for 25 years.
They discontinued the Lehman Russ because they're gonna do a new one, and like someone super gets buttered that they didn't get any Lehman Russ kits, and it's like. Bitch.
That's what the oldest kids known to mankind.
Ancient. Yeah. So it's always like every time I see that, like the entitlement butthurt, it's always just like, but I was going to maybe possibly buy that someday. Now I can't. That's literally what their argument boils down to. It's just like, it's been around for 10 years. You haven't bought it yet?
Well, the worst thing, too, is like, okay, so the Plasticadians are terrible. The Plasticadians are worse than the Plasticadians.
Yeah.
It's like, they should put out a new guard kit.
The Plasticadians are reasonable.
They're terrible.
They're reasonable.
Terrible.
The Catachans are hilarious. I like the Catachans because they're so fucking goofy looking, but like they look like Chaos Marauders. Like they're gigantic.
It's like they talk.
Why are they strength 3? I'm like, look at their arms.
They talk to each other like Sylvester Stallone.
They're
like,
all Sly Marbo.
Yeah. Gumball's neighbor wife.
Yeah.
They're terrible. And so it's like, of course, you got Metal Valhallans. Those are kind of cool. They got the great coats.
The best minis are the Vestroians.
The Vestroians!
Those are the best Imperial Guard minis. With their big furry hats.
Except for the fact that they're the size of Space Marines. 32mm Space Marines.
Yeah, they're huge. They're Vestroians.
They're Vestroians!
Yeah. We have grown strong from drinking our vodka.
And eating borscht.
And borscht. Lots of borscht. Yeah, I love the Vestroians. They're really cool. I had a Vestroian army.
No, I think the Talarns are actually really cool sculpts.
Oh, those are the Desert Raiders?
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are badass, too.
Those guys have awesome sculpts, and I'm kind of sad to see
them
go.
The Iron Guard are the worst.
The Mordian Iron Guard? You don't like the dress blues?
Those are awful. They're especially the one, the gunner who's sitting on the gun. He just looks so fucking awkward. It's like, no. Cut that out.
Yeah, no one goes to the battle in the dress blues.
Yeah, no.
Yes. Jason Yarbrough asks, WotC has hinted about more upcoming campaign settings for 5e. Would you rather see an old one revisited or something completely new? So far they have, what's out right now is
Ravenloft is the only non-Forgotten Realms.
Yeah, so they got Forgotten Realms and Ravenloft.
Yeah.
And even Ravenloft isn't really,
it's just one book.
It's just one book. So that would leave, you'd have
ton. There's
Al-Kadim.
Well, Al-Kadim is in Forgotten Realms.
Okay. So you have Starjammer.
You got Starjammer, there's Greyhawk. They've done nothing in Greyhawk. There's Dragonlance.
I don't think they do Dragonlance because you got to pay money to Margaret to some other people.
Yeah, from, like, did Margaret Weiss die?
I don't know, but I mean, you owe, like, that's not owned, I think, by WotC.
I mean, honestly, like, I'm kind of surprised that they haven't done a magic set at this point, one of the magic planes.
Oh yeah, like a planeswalker.
Right. I think that would be a if they're gonna do something new, I think that would be an interesting
Mystara.
Well,
we're gonna
do
Mystara.
I think it would be a good cross. Mystara. I think it would be a good cross promotion where if they just did a new realm for D&D and just made it a straight D&D book and then had the next magic set be in that realm.
That's actually kind of surprising. I never thought of that before. Like, why hasn't WotC cross promoted Dungeons and Dragons with Magic the Gathering?
Right.
That would make sense because Magic supposedly has a pretty cool,
it has a massive amount of lore. Yeah. There's a fucking insane amount of lore for Magic.
That's a huge spider back there.
Yeah. That's not a spider. That's a harvestman.
Well, whatever. It's spider.
It's not a spider. It's a harvestman.
It's a spiders. Spitters. But yeah, they have.
He's actually very wee. He just has big legs.
Yeah. There's a. I'm just surprised that they haven't done that and kind of fleshed out that world into a more easy to follow rule set that you can at least get into that
right
way.
Because it would be a very clever way to preview it. Like, just like release a supplement for a new world for D&D, and then like a couple months later, just like, and here's the magic set.
Well, and that's another thing with Magic is the fact that why isn't there any Magic video games based off Magic? Why isn't there any?
Oh, there's a million games based off Magic, but they're all mobile or PC.
I mean, more like.
You mean like just a game?
Yeah.
I don't think they've ever tried. There was a Magic RTS once that came out on PlayStation, PlayStation.
Yeah, and
it was mediocre.
There's that, and then there's like, how come there's no movies or TV shows or like it's huge. Like, more people play Magic than any other game out there. Mm-hmm. How come they haven't done anything with it? And I think it's because the format in which Magic is played currently is not conducive to, this is understandable. Like, someone from outside Magic, like myself, who wanted to write something about Magic, like, J.J. Abrams can't be like, so what's the deal with Magic's history? Like, there's no way of easily getting into it. Which is, like, with World of Warcraft, you can easily get into it if you play the game for, like, 5 minutes. You're like, I get
it's mostly
everything.
Generic fantasy, except the orcs are aliens. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. The orcs are aliens.
They're fucking aliens. It's stupid. The Warcraft lore is the dumbest.
It is
the worst fantasy lore out there. There's not a single you name me a worse fantasy franchise that is a worse lore than Warcraft. That's also popular. I'm sure, like, Sylvarian or whatever that one that you brought over might have a...
With the Plague Realms?
Yeah, per se. That one might have a worse lore than Warcraft, per se, but no one's heard of that.
Maybe. Neverending Story. That's terrible lore.
It's a book. It doesn't have lore. It's a kid's imagination.
Yeah, and kids are stupid.
Bastion!
You are the one.
So do you think he
say my name?
Do you think he nutted up there in that attic to the thoughts of the princess? I think so.
And then, like, as the sperm are coming out of his dick, there's a little Bastion writing it, going, "Yeah."
Whoa, that's like a superception.
I always say that. That's my favorite. That's one of Pat B's favorite moments of when we were hanging out. We went to Six Flags and we were riding on the Batman ride, and we were right up at the front. And as we're going, I'm like, "Are you ready?" Yeah. I got the fist pound out.
That movie sucks, by the way. It's awful.
What, The Neverending Story?
Oh, it's so bad.
It's not terrible.
I saw it pretty recently. They re-released it in theaters for the anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
It was fucking unbearable. Like, I barely made it through, and the movie's like 80 minutes.
It's a short movie, too.
It's been like 800 years.
I'm very surprised that getting back to the question, that WotC hasn't done Spelljammer to compete with Starfinder. It's very odd that hasn't been done.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to, like, Spelljammer is literally just Forgotten Realms in space. So yeah. So you can easily do that and not have to worry about it.
Space Realms.
Space Realms. It's easy. I'd like to see them come up with something new. What I really hate about 5th edition, and I don't really hate it, it's just something that annoys me, is the prevalence of a lot of non-typical fantasy races that you generally see. Like,
there's so many.
Like,
it's
here's
really
my dragon, half-dragon guy. I'm like,
Dragonborn, yeah.
Dragonborn.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. It's stupid.
Yeah, it's really obnoxious.
Or the half-demon people.
Tieflings?
Tieflings. Like, fuck
well,
this.
Tieflings are super popular, and tieflings are, like, a big part of Forgotten Realms, so I'll excuse tieflings, because they're, like, they're very specifically woven into, like, the Forgotten Realms lore. Like, they're important.
But
that's a Forgotten Realm. Like, I'm a Greyhawk fan.
Greyhawk!
So, like, I personally like parties to be comprised of humans, dwarves, elves, and halflings. That's it.
You don't even like halflings.
I do like halflings.
I don't like gnomes.
I don't like gnomes. Yes, no gnomes. And halflings are okay as long as you're not something stupid like a halfling pie thief.
I want to be a halfling pie thief.
You can be a halfling thief. Just drop the pie.
No, that's the whole point. I only steal pies.
Yeah, no gnomes. I don't like gnomes because they're ludicrously small and shouldn't be player characters. It's like anything that's ludicrously small or ludicrously big should not be allowed to be a player character just because, like...
What about a half-orc? Do you like half-orcs?
They're okay. I don't have anything against half-orcs per se. but I like the core four: human, elf, dwarf, halfling. That's my thing. That's why I like that. That's all the old school
half elf ranger.
I think a lot of the issue with all those stupid like extra races is now it's all about the combos. It's like, oh well, technically like you shouldn't be a human barbarian because if you pick this race of barbarian, it's better because you get this bonus here and this bonus. It's so much more gamey, and it's like you're not playing that race because you have an affinity or an interest in that race. You're playing it because it combos with your class, which is why I really like the old style of role playing OSR, like and Lamentations and old stuff, where like, oh, you're an elf, that's you're an elf. There's no class plus race. Like, you are an elf. The only race that gets classes are humans. Period. So, like, if you're an elf, you have sword play, you have bow skills, you can cast spells. Like, and then you can, and then as you level, you can veer towards one. And then, like, dwarf, cool. You're tough, you're strong, you don't cast spells. Like, there you go. Like, it's that you got it.
Human, you cry and masturbate.
Well, you could do that if you were a peasant.
Yes. All right. Moving on. Any more news about X-Wing? The initial Bart Herp seems to have blown over, but I don't know it because people are mad at Fantasy Flight. Or I don't know if it's because people are mad at Fantasy Flight or if they have accepted the change. This is from Jens.
I think at this point, anyone who is like going to quit in a rage has done so.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't blame them because like we calculated, it's if you have one of everything, it's $350 to upgrade, and that's just one of everything. And I believe most people probably have more than one of several SKUs.
Yeah, I don't. I think there was a lot of initial like rage. I'm gonna get rid of all this stuff. I think a lot of people have seen what they've done and are actually kind of like what they're doing. They think it's a little bit better. So I think that once again, there's like about a third who've like already accepted that the new edition is gonna come. They're gonna play still.
Yeah.
And then there's a third who are waiting and seeing.
Yeah.
And that,
I think this will be an it's not a last gasp, but this will do nothing but extend the life of the X-Wing for a short while.
Yeah. I think that
it's not gonna recover lapsed players. It's likely to not recover lapsed players. It might get some new people in because they can just be like, oh, I don't have to buy all this shit. But I don't know if there's going to be enough of an influx to offset how many people are not buying or playing anymore.
I think that's the formula that I'm laying out is basically whenever you have a new edition change, it's generally about a third ditch, a third keep playing, and a third are undecided until, you know, but you give it a little bit of time.
That all depends on the severity of the change. Like, many additions are not, like...
But that's what I'm saying, is, like, that third who are undecided, though, if it's a decent change and everything's good, that third is going to stay and the game is going to grow. If the addition sucks, that third is going to be like, fuck this, and then you only have like a third of your current player base still playing, and then the game just dies.
Malifaux,
Wormhole Hordes, all of those games are like that.
They went into a new edition and died. Although the Malifaux specifically is weird because from what I understand, the new edition of Malifaux that when people quit, the game was much better. Like, everyone I know who played Malifaux, like, it seemed to be consensus that the addition was better, but then the game also just kind of...
Well, there's also some other shit that happened with Malifaux, too, that we're not, like, super in pertain to. Like, we don't understand because we didn't play the game. So I'm sure that there's some other stuff. Yeah, I know a lot of people were pissy about the new way that the models are made.
Okay, yeah, there's probably some behind the scenes or not obvious stuff, or not about the game for that one.
Yeah, because I mean, like, a lot of people really don't like the new way that the models are done. They're like plastic, they're huge, they're not as funky as the old stuff is. Oh, right.
Well, West Exodus is back. It got bought by that new company, the British company. People are liking it. It's got Abraham Lincoln with an axe. You love Abraham Lincoln with an axe.
I like Space Lincoln.
Space Lincoln. Spinkin.
Yeah, I think until the actual Fantasy Flight release of X-Wing version 2 comes out, we really can't say anything. They're previewing the stuff, and people seem to be relatively positive about it from what I've read online.
Yeah, it's like I said, it will likely be a small extension. Like, Star Wars fans are so, like, brain dead with, like, a lot of their games. Like, that one dude I said the game store is just like, oh, it's a new game, I don't play anything unless it's Star Wars. Like, there's a lot of that guy. Like, that guy is a real demographic. So,
it's a thing, because people, going back to lore, people understand the Star Wars lore. As bad as Star Wars lore is, which is, it's literally the worst fantasy lore of all time, because it makes no sense.
No, it's awful.
There's no consensus with it whatsoever.
There's not even a consistency in its own universe.
No, like, there are literally massive chunks of the background that have just been erased.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, and not even in canon erased. Like, they've
just gone.
They're just gone.
Yeah, at least the stuff that's idiosyncratic about Star Trek, they at least try to, like, explain in some capacity.
Yeah, well, and that's most lores. Like, most lores, if there's some sort of thing that contradicts another thing.
Like Klingons, the biggest one.
Yeah. They'll be like, oh, there's a reason for this because of this, 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 and this. Okay. Or, like, oh, there was time travel and they retcon this, or...
That was one of my favorite episodes. I think it was DS9 where they're on the...
Trouble with Tribbles.
Yeah, and they point out, and they're like, Worf, what is that? He's like, that is a Klingon. And they're like, what? That's a Klingon. He's like, we do not speak of it. I was like, that's awesome. But, like, they have a little tongue-in-cheek thing, because obviously the reason Klingons don't look like they do in the 80s is because they didn't have the makeup to make them look any different than just, like, a brown guy.
No. Well, you mean the 60s.
60s. Well, no. They didn't look like they look in the 80s.
Oh, yes.
Because they changed them immediately.
And they changed them again in Discovery, so that now they look super crazy.
Yeah, they look totally crazy, which, I mean, I'm not...
Well, they're in canon universes that... Klingons are a massive spacefaring race. They're going to look different from each other.
Right. Which is cool. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
But that's
another thing that Grognard's got butthurt about, fucking, like, hey, Klingons look different. And it's just like, you guys are the worst.
I don't know. The idea of cultural hegemony in Star Wars, in Star Trek, is a big deal. So that the fact that all Vulcans look the same, because as a human, we're going to see them and they're all going to look the same to us. Just like as a Vulcan sees humans and as different as we are with, you know, black,
right,
white.
But there's,
you know,
dark-skinned Vulcans and light-skinned Vulcans.
But they're going to look at us and
there's T'Pol.
Yeah.
Whoa, T'Pol. The hottest of the Vulcans, other than Spock, of course.
Yeah, well, yeah. And Tuvok.
I like Tuvok, actually. Yeah.
But yeah, you have all of them and they're going to look at humans and be like, all humans look exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like, because that's what they're going to do, because there's that idea of it. And so if you make it too different, where if humans are able to see, like, differentiate Klingons because of something or other, that kind of defeats a little bit of the purpose of Trek, the idea of the hegemony of Trek. It's
sure.
Like the point of the Federation is that it is the Federation. There is no factions of the Federation. The Federation is a monolith.
Everyone's
that moves
together.
Space. Everyone's together. And that's kind of the same thing with Vulcans. Vulcans are a monolithic race. They do everything they do is exactly the same. You could go from one show to another show to another show. All Vulcans will be the same.
I guess technically your difference for this Klingon difference could be simple as, like, Vulcans and Romulans, though.
Yeah.
Like, Romulans look almost exactly like Vulcans because they're from the same, like, progenitor race.
Yeah.
And then the weird goblin-looking... The Remans, like they're kind of the same too, but they look weird because they're in the fucking. So yeah. I guess if you think of it from that perspective, this race of this other Klingon thing would be like, that's the level of difference.
Oh no, I understand. I'm just that's like the whole.
Yeah. I kind of feel it's more like the only problem is the issue I have with it is it seems like it's very much like a change not to, like, enrich the lore or be like. More, it's be like, look how different we are.
That's true.
That really
I
seems
agree
to be
with
the.
That.
It's like a disingenuous change.
I don't even know how we got to this. we got to the, but yes. So Richard,
it's gonna say Star Wars.
It's gonna say Star Wars. Oh, that their lore is terrible.
Yes, I did that for you at the at Last Jedi.
Oh yeah,
I went, it's gonna say Star Wars, and then it didn't.
You see Solo yet?
No.
Okay. Richard Clark on that says, "Is Fantasy Flight on a mission to piss people off? They canceled Netflix right after releasing
Netrunner.
Right after treating us to X2." What do you think will be their third act to complete the trilogy of Goodwill Destruction? God.
Abrupt cancellation of everything L5R.
Well, they already did that, didn't they?
I don't know. They, like, dumped everything out, so they're probably going to cancel it soon.
Yeah.
I don't think the LCG went over very well.
I would say, actually, if they're going to do anything, what it would be is a cancellation of Legion right after.
Right. Like, yes.
Like
Legion,
with,
there you go.
With the newest stuff all coming out, it's just like they're just doing like a couple hero packs and then canceling the fucking game.
Yes.
People would get so fucking angry about it. The amount of buy-in I've seen on Legion so far is insane.
So stupid. Like, how dumb are you people? Like, you guys are idiots.
Well, I mean, like, the amount of buy-in, what I'm talking about is like people with terrain. I've seen people buy, like, I don't know, they have hundreds of stormtroopers. Hundreds of stormtroopers. I don't know if they're all Legion stormtroopers,
because
I didn't really care that much. I looked at it and went, you're an idiot. Click.
See ya.
Downvote. But yeah, it was pretty insane, like the amount of stormtroopers that they have in that. And like building models to scale. I saw a guy who took a Hasbro Millennium Falcon. It was the Millennium Falcon that they released that didn't have the interior done.
Okay.
It's a toy Millennium Falcon. It's designed just to have the Falcon.
A hollow Falcon.
It's a hollow Falcon. He opened it up. It's like about the right scale for Legion. He opened it up and did all of the interior, like, perfect to how the Millennium Falcon actually works. So it could be a playable playscape for Legion. It looks amazing, but at the same time, I'm like, that's not going to be effective in 2 years
useless.
When the game is dead.
It's also useless. I mean, that's cool.
It's not useless. It works well with the game.
How are you going to have squads move through the fucking Falcon?
Yeah, they'll fit.
Yeah.
Nah.
I think it's cool looking.
At least in the way he built the play space, it worked.
I'm down with that. Like, that's actually pretty cool. Like, that's actually something at least you can will look cool on a shelf when the game is dead. You know, when it gets canceled later.
That's an important thing with the game. Will it look cool on the shelf after the game is canceled?
Yeah, that's important. That is important. And, like, you know what doesn't look cool? 10,000 stormtroopers.
Well, some people that would
on
look
the,
cool.
On the shelf, 5 is just as good.
No, there would be some people who go down that guy's going, oh my god, look at all your stormtroopers. No one ever came down to my basement and said, oh, look at all your dystopian legions. No one ever said that. That's why I got rid of the game. Okay.
Also because it was dead and the company went under.
There's actually a really great YouTube series. It's called The History of Tabletop. And they've done, I don't know if they've done more than these two, but there was a history of early Games Workshop like to 1988, 89. Like, the beginning to 89. Mm-hmm. And then they also did The Rise and Fall of Rackham.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's like a 30-minute little documentary about it. It's pretty interesting.
That's sweet.
Yeah, I would recommend finding that. I'll put a link up if I can find it when I get home. Stuart Williams asks, obligatory, is there anything revealed at E3 that tingles your balls?
Cyberpunk.
It's not cyberpunk enough for me.
Fucking cyberpunk.
How much RAM can he fit in his head?
3 gigabytes of RAM.
Can't, no, it was like 120
gigs. No, it's like 30 gigs or something. It was something like...
It was ludicrously small.
It was absolutely absurd at the time of the film.
Yeah.
Like, a beyond absurd, but now it's like a joke.
128K.
Yeah. We had this conversation at work not too long ago. It was about Johnny Mnemonic, and it was just like, it was hilarious.
I love Johnny Mnemonic.
I love it, too. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Great cyberpunk film in a genre that is bereft of films.
My problem with cyberpunk, and not the game, I could give two shits about the game, but just cyberpunk in general right now, is like cyberpunk has to be rooted in 1980s tech for me. So this game does not look like it's rooted in like 1980s tech to me.
We'll see. It says it's cyberpunk 2072 or whatever, which is the exact game. So presumably there will be like phone hacking and shit still.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Phone
like,
freaking.
Can we see some phone freaking? Are we gonna see some like is stuff gonna be on magnetic?
Because one of the classes in cyberpunk is a fucking phone freak. So if you can't play as a phone freak, I'm gonna boycott that game.
Boycott. There was a computer program. I was reading about this. I can't remember what fucking book it was. I think it was something about the X-Files. But there was actually a program that you could, if you were in a room next to a guy on a computer, you could put like this like stethoscope up to the wall and hook it up to your computer, and your computer would be able to tell what the guy was typing based upon his clicking sounds.
Oh.
And it was something like that.
That's pretty weird.
That's fucking cyberpunk as shit.
That is cyberpunk, yeah.
Or that thing that just came out with the self... Like, the guy who stopped the self-driving car by putting the circle ring of salt around
it. Yeah.
It's like, that's the most Shadowrun thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, no, E3 was fine for me.
Cyberpunk, I'm excited about. Death Stranding. Elder Scrolls. Like, I wish I had a super nice phone so I could play Blades, because that's going to be awesome. But that game also looks like it's going to require, like, top-of-the-line phone, which I don't have.
Yeah.
New Legends coming to PS4 is really sweet, because I play Legends now on my phone and on the computer, so it'll be awesome to be able to play it on PS4. That's the card game.
Okay.
It's like, you should give it a shot. It's free. It's fun. It's like, it plays like Hearthstone, but it's improved Hearthstone, so it's got two lanes instead of just one, so like where you place your creatures actually matters, which I thought was a really cool feature. It's a good one. Give it a shot. It's called Elder Scrolls Legends, and it's got tons of Elder Scrolls background, so if you like Elder Scrolls, it's cool to see some characters like from Morrowind. It's like, ooh.
I liked...
And there's a whole Duvakin deck where you can play with shouts, and you can level up your shouts, and when you play the shout, it actually, like... the runes appear on the screen and it shakes. So, like, when you play level 3 Fusroda, it's like, Fusroda! And, like, the fucking shit goes flying. It's really badass. I recommend it.
A lot of the cool stuff that I saw at E3 that I liked a lot of, like, the mobile game-looking stuff, like the side-scroller. Mm. That one that looked like Daredevil, Deadpool, the video game, where the guy's, like, on a skateboard and just shooting shit and, like, throwing up garbage can lids and shooting shit. Like, that's the shit that I was actually, like, I was like, oh, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, Bethesda was really hype for me. I was really excited about all the stuff they announced for Bethesda. Probably not super excited about Fallout 76. I don't think it looks like it's going to be my style of game, but I think it's going to be a very successful game, which is good, because I like Bethesda, and I want them to stay around, because they're, like, the last bastion of single-player RPGs that exist.
I'm hoping Last of Us 2 is pretty good. Last of Us,
it'll probably be fine.
The first one that I played, I was really impressed with. But at the same time, I'm just kind of like, whatever. I don't have time to play video
games. Sad walking in snow game.
That the first game was so amazing.
It was a really good game.
The first, like, 2 hours of that game, playing it, was just fucking unbelievable. All right. Anthony Pizarra asks, best model line to run a big anime titty counts as sister army.
There is no. There isn't one.
Raging Heroes.
Oh, yeah, I guess if you don't want them to look like anime waifus. There's no good line of minis for anime waifus.
No, there is. Okay, so there's one company that makes...
Not enough for accounts as army.
Well, but what it has is it has anime heads.
Oh, okay.
So you gotta just cut off the heads and put the anime heads on there.
There
I
you
can't
go.
Remember what it is if I could think of it off.
So there you go. Just wait for the plastic sisters, give them the anime heads.
Yeah, there you go. There's so many companies out there right now that do, like... Replace like Cromalec, and
you can always just do what you can always just do what the Japanese painters do. They just file down the eyes and then paint giant anime eyes. And the good painters, they look really nice. It's like, oh, that actually looks badass. Like I saw a Sigmarine done up to look like a Kenshiro from Fist of the North Star, like his face, and I was just like, that looks really good.
did he punch a Skaven and the Skaven's body
and
exploded?
Skaven explodes. That would be a pretty cool thing to sculpt if you had like two fists and then you did a bunch of
like
translucent resin fists, like,
yeah,
and had him like doing a bunch of punches. That'd be badass.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I thought was interesting that's never been in Warhammer. There's never been a fist fighting anything.
Oh,
everything's always weapons.
Like a hand-to-hand combat guy?
Yeah, or any race that has hand-to-hand specialists, like, period. That's never been a thing in Warhammer, which is...
No,
I mean, it's fine. It's odd, because that's usually a trope that manages to worm its way into fantasy.
But you know
somewhere.
What? Generally, you see that a lot with Asian armies, like kung fu type guys.
That's true. And in D&D, obviously, it's the monk.
And the monks and stuff like that. And Games Workshop has never really gone into the East.
True.
So, like, if you did that, it would probably be, like, clan... which one's the Eshin?
Eshin, yeah.
It'd probably be Eshin.
Yeah, Eshin, I guess. They have those knife hand things, too, so you could have,
and
like, a...
punch and, like, throwing stars.
Sure.
Throwing stars.
I could see that.
Ian Davies of The Kinks asks us, has anyone refused to be a guest on this podcast, or would your egos not allow it?
We would let it. I believe there's an open invitation to anyone who wants to guest on our cast.
Anybody who wants to be on this cast. It doesn't have to be famous or not. You can be... Yeah, just like a schlub.
The only exception is you have to come to the studio.
Yeah, you have to come to the studio.
Yeah.
Or to a place where we happen to be at both at the same time.
Right, yes.
Like, so at Adepticon. Or Gen Con, maybe.
Yeah, I get the Midwest Meltdown next week, so... All right, you're not going to be there.
What's that? That's a video game thing?
No, it's a Age of Sigmar tournament.
Oh, really? Where's
it's
that
a,
at?
It's in Peoria.
Ooh, well, that's, I think it's, who the fuck wants to go to Peoria?
I don't know. It's
will it play in Peoria?
It's a big, sure. It's a big 2-day tournament.
Oh, fun!
Yeah, so I'll be going down there and bringing my army. And it has one of the more interesting tournament requirements I've seen. You have to bring a piece of terrain.
Oh, that's cool.
That you've made. I guess there's a terrain contest, but I guess there's also going to be like specific scenarios revolving around your terrain piece. So I'm working on a Nurgle watchtower, which I'm going to be doing.
I have
that like watchtower mini, and like we were going through a terrain because all of the terrain is now built that I own, and the watchtower was missing a wall in one of the ramparts, so it's three walls, two ramparts. So I was just like, what the fuck? But I assembled it to where it is now, and I'm like, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take pink foam, and I'm going to have it, like, built into a rock face, like a cliff face, and I'm just going to kind of build that down so it's going to look like it's built into a...
Into a cliff.
A cliff, mm-hmm. And then I'll do, like, some nurgly shit, and it's going to look all, like, gross. So,
that'd be cool.
Yeah, I think it'll end up looking pretty sweet. I got to get some pink foam and some MDF for the base, because I'm going to do one of the irregular shape bases.
No.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know
about.
What you're talking about. Yeah. It's just
I'm also gonna make I now own four feculent Gnarlmaws, and I am sick of that model. So I'm going to build my last three.
That's the problem with the feculent Gnarlmaw is it doesn't have a lot of variation in it.
There's zero. You can only build it one way.
Yeah. And which is a shame.
Yeah, they really should have made it a little more. But I do have enough extra Nurgle bits and bells and like weird tentacle things that I should be able to make. I should be able to get one Citadel wood and make three Gnarlmaws.
Wood.
Citadel wood. but wood Citadel.
All right, so we got Raza coming up, and Raza, of course, has to ask like eight questions like he always does.
Sure.
I wanted to thank you for posting on Podbean. We always post on Podbean. The site's still having issues. I don't know how that's going. Yeah, I have to talk with Pat. I refuse to do anything with the internet anymore. Me and the internet are fighting. I only gradually visited it for porn.
That's fair.
And
even then, it's just on your phone.
What's that?
And even then, it's just on your phone.
Yeah. No, the phone is for Instagram posting.
Oh, okay.
I have to post like eight pictures a day.
Very good.
Any thoughts about going to a gaming trade show that is not close to you, like PAX in Seattle, Origins, or some shows in the UK?
Too expensive.
It is very expensive for us. I would love, if I was going to go to anywhere, I'd go to Salute in the UK. That'd be the one I'd like to go to.
Yeah, if I was gonna do UK, I'd probably do the really big one, UK that's, Games Expo or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's the trade show.
Yeah.
I would do that one too.
I'd probably do that one.
Salute is the big is like a big.
That's historical, right?
Yeah, it's historical. Yeah.
I would do that for UK, and then for here, the only I don't think there's really any game shows that I'd be interested in going to that aren't in the Midwest. Like the Midwest is the dominant tabletop.
I mean,
game
PAX
thing.
It's pretty
video
big,
games.
But it's mostly video games.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tabletop that goes on in PAX. Origins is the one Origins is like the only one in the Midwest that we don't go to.
Yeah.
I don't go to PAX, and I don't go to Origins just because it always happens to fall on like my last week of work.
Yeah, and I don't want to go to Gamma because Gamma's geared towards retailers and distributors, so that'd be like going somewhere to work.
I would say Dragon Con might be pretty good. Dragon Con's
all cosplay though. You would hate Dragon Con.
Yeah, but I would go and dress up and maybe get some furry.
Okay, just ogle the ladies.
Just no, I'd go to like a furry thing and I'd be like, "All right, guys,
nice.
I heard that there's stuff going on.
Nice.
My penis is ready.
Squirrel Sona.
The Exotica, the Midwest porn convention was 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
And my buddy happened to be at a sports card convention going on at the same time at the same place.
That's
like,
awesome.
It's a really weird juxtaposition of people. There's like a mom and two little kids.
The fat, grody, out of shape sports dudes.
And the fat, grody, out of shape porn dudes.
Yes. I dig it.
I would totally have gone to that, except for, I just couldn't bring myself to like, I just couldn't do it. I was like, I don't have a lot of dignity left, but I got a slight amount that I don't need to go to that porn show alone. Maybe if I was going with some friends, like a whole thing, you can make a thing out of it, but no.
Get some T-Girl autographs.
T-Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Gary Con is another one that I want really
to
go to.
Oh, yeah, Gary Con would be legit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to
but
do
Gary
that.
Gary Con is very, though, that's very, like, serious. Like, not serious as in, like, you can't have fun there, but it's very much, like, this is all about old school D&D.
Yeah.
this is what you do for old school D&D. I would go to that too. Gary Con always looks like
that'd
it's
be
fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Plus it's like Geneva, so it's like what, 2 hours away?
Yeah, it's close. Again, yeah. more Midwest.
More Midwest, yeah. Is there a tabletop model games that you would recommend for kids coming into the hobby?
Shadespire.
No.
Shadespire. Absolutely.
No,
Shadespire is my number one recommendation.
No. See, that's because you love Shadespire. It's not a good game for beginners.
It's a fine game for beginners because it's a very small model count and it's easy to understand because you're limited by what you do on your cards.
I would say Shadespire only if you were only playing with the core set.
Right.
The problem with Shadespire is it's a game that evolves very quickly. And though the intro cost is very low, it stacks up very quickly when you're buying. You have to buy $60 buy-in every 3 months. I would say still it'd be probably for me. I'd probably have to say I'd have to say Age of Sigmar.
Age of Sigmar. Yeah, I can see that.
Because the rules are very, very simple. Even the new rule set, which we haven't talked about yet. I think I was going to save that until the next cast, which is, I believe, after the release.
Yes.
We could go into the rules a little more in depth. Mm-hmm. There's 8 pages of rules as opposed to four pages of rules.
But yeah, Sigmar would definitely be a good call. So yeah, I'd say Shadespire or Sigmar for sure. Yeah. Now the only, I guess the one draw against Shadespire, I would say, is it's not going to really get you into miniatures gaming because it doesn't play like a minis game.
Yeah.
But it is really good for starting to paint because there's
the
factions are small and very unique. I think that's. For like just getting into the hobby, I would say get a Shadespire core set for your first thing and then do an Age of Sigmar core set.
Yeah, because you could build off of whatever thing you like painting the best.
Yes.
Yeah. It's in all honesty. But yeah, that's why I say like if you're going to get tabletop, if you're going to do like a game, Age of Sigmar is the easiest. 40K, as much as I like the new edition of 40K, it's still a little more complicated than
way more
needs
complicated
to be.
Than Sigmar.
Yeah, way more complicated than Sigmar.
Yeah.
Next question. Who I often hear a lady in the background of the show. Who is she? One of your wives, I am guessing.
We're just gonna leave that as a mystery.
Dun dun dun.
Mm-hmm.
That's cold.
Ah, shit. I should, you know what? I should have just been like, what lady?
What lady? It's the fish. It's the fish in the background.
It's my fish. My three girls.
It's Cole.
It's Cole.
Yeah. Brush Bunny Studios.
Yes.
If you like to see more of Cole's work,
yes.
Brush Bunny Studios.
Do it.
If Fantasy Flight ignores the Star Wars timeline, they can add more factions to the Star Wars Legion game, like the Gungans, the Trade Federation, the Separatists, the Republic, and the Wookiees from the prequels, the Resistance and New Order from the new movies. This would also work with a Scum and Villainy faction using Outlaws and Bounty Hunters from all the Star Wars movies. Thoughts?
I think if they do a Gungan army, it'd be hilarious to have Gungans versus Stormtroopers.
Here's the problem with that. These things need to be fleshed out in order to have an army. So at that point, you are making your own shit in order to be competitive. Star Wars fans don't like that. They want to see only the shit that's in the movies.
Yep.
We've learned that over and over and over again.
Yep.
Is this a speeder bike? Is it the speeder bike from the movie?
Is this the speeder that Luke used on Tatooine?
Yeah, exactly.
I see 4 engines.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it has to be from the movies in order for them to do it, and you have to be fully fleshed out. So, what are you going to get that Wookiee copter from that you see briefly that they made for a toy? But yeah, you could do stuff like the Trade Federation.
They could finally add the clone troopers, so you can get another solid white army.
But you can paint little blue and red stripes for their thingies.
Finally,
I want to see a Thrandoshan army. Just a bunch of Bosks. Steve's ramming his head against the desk. Robert M. Mentica asks, I'd like to hear more about Privateer Press and the state of Warmer Hordes. Also, thoughts on the reboot of Monster Apocalypse. Warmer Hordes is kind of in limbo right now. They're still putting out new stuff. I've heard they had some distribution issues lately.
I believe it is a zombie. It's walking around. It's dead. It doesn't know that it's dead, but it keeps moving and eating.
Yeah, they're still putting out new stuff. I see previews and new stuff coming out all the time. I haven't really heard much about new rules.
They actually changed their release structure too.
Oh, they had. Yeah. I know there's some distribution issues that are going on outside the U.S.
Yeah, their release structure got changed too. Now that they used to do one small thing for a bunch of factions, every release wave. Now they're doing bigger release waves, but it's just they're GWing it. So like the release wave is Menoth, and it's like 10 Menoth SKUs, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then actually, so they're copying the GW release schedule style.
Yeah.
As far as Monsterpocalypse goes, I don't know who they're trying to get to play that game, because they're not going to get Monsterpocalypse players, because A, they were already burned, and B, they played a game that was pre-painted plastics, and now it is not pre-painted plastics. It's build your own hobby kit. The game could only be improved because the game was seriously flawed, but I like what I'm hearing about the new edition. I like that the figures are bigger, or the monsters are bigger, which is cool. There's no booster packs, which means that there's not going to be any limited bullshit that ruins the game, which happened very rapidly with Monsterpocalypse. And the small ships, which are the support vehicles, which became the game, are not going to become the game in this one, because they're super restricted, because it's just you have the five that come with your model.
Yeah.
And that's it. So
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I like kaiju stuff. I'm not going to immediately shit on Monsterpocalypse, because that's a game that like I would like to see do well. Hopefully it does. I think there's going to be people interested in it.
I don't like to see any game fail unless it's like a really, really stupid IP. So like something like War Machine Hordes, I don't want to fail. I think that it's a cool IP. I wouldn't want it to fail. It's just like, it's kind of just, I like,
they're fucking it up, man.
Yeah. Like I like it when people fail for doing dumb things. Like it's like karma. Like finally karma's doing something.
Yeah. Well, it's just like War Machine Hordes is like that. It's still not gotten around the issue of the fact that that game is supposed to be about big, sweet robots fighting, and they're the worst models in the game. Like, yeah. The big robots suck. And then the one thing they did to make the big robots good was make them the Colossals, which were hugely expensive models.
And not even that expensive.
And then they broke the game because they were too good. Like, they need to fix their shit. And now they nerfed them, so they're garbage in third edition. So, like, every robot sucks. They really need to streamline and fix their game.
Get your shit together.
Yeah.
James asks us, are the Knights of the Shroud the Dangle Sigmarines? Simple answer. Yes.
Yes.
Complex answer? I don't care.
Yes. Aurora Borealis.
They're just
steamed hams.
They are literally just Sigmarines that wear cloaks.
They're wizards and artillerymen, which is really cool. I really like their aesthetic. Everything has the anvil.
Yeah.
So their hammers look like anvils. That's gonna be fucking cool. Although the ghosts, man. Oh, the ghosts.
Yes, and the spooky.
I'm ready for the spookiness.
All right. I know we'll cover this more in the next podcast when they release. But
more spookiness.
But as I've already said, I think I said on the podcast, I'm really pissed off that Games Workshop once again fucked up the number of models that they're giving in the core set, as opposed to the minimum unit size that they're going to recommend and that they're going to require in General's Compendium. Size. Like, why the fuck did they do that again?
Yeah, I don't know.
They did that. It was only one unit, luckily, in the In the first Sigmar.
Yeah, it was the two-handed, the Great Weapon guys, right?
The Great Weapon guys, yeah. That was supposed to, it's a minimum unit of five.
I'm willing to bet that there's going to be an easy way to make them the right unit size.
Not currently, anyway.
I think there will be one.
The problem is,
because the persecutors, the dudes that you got three of and their minimum unit size five, they did release a two-pack set at one point.
Yes, but the problem with that is that the two-pack set that they released, one was already another sergeant and or another leader and another in a scrub. So then you'd end up with a unit of five guys, two leaders, and three scrubs. It was really dumb.
That's annoying.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also like the fucking with the stuff. And like you go up and play and be like, look, you need a minimum of five guys to play this unit. You only release four in the box set. What's up with that? You can use them in open play. No one plays open play.
No one cares about that.
In the studio, we love open play. No one cares about open
play.
I'm
sure there's going to be some sort of quick way to do it.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, it's called eBay.
Well, sure. Hey, man, that counts.
Yeah. That's the only way it's going to count. And then he says, after the hoo-ha with X-Wing and out of scaling the Imperial Assault Range to bring Legion, FFG released a new core set for Nightrunner right before they canceled the game because the license expired. Are FFG fans willing masochists, or must they put up with, or must the, or the most put upon gamers in the hobby? Well, we already answered all that.
Yeah, I mean, Asmodee is trying to create, Asmodee has been bought by fucking venture capitalists. Like, that game company is currently producing product to create huge revenue streams to sell. That's what they want to do. That company was worth like nothing not too long ago, but now after all the investment moves they've made and all the purchasing they've made, they're worth like $1 billion, I think, the total. They're trying to sell that company. That's what it's for. They're not there to make games. to that work. They're not there to make games that have longevity. They're there to produce big numbers, which is why they have expensive licenses
big
and why they
numbers.
And why they bought up all of those their smaller manufacturers and why they don't produce games, because they're there to make their company stock look better, not actually, you know, get in the gaming industry. Once they sell, if they sell to someone who doesn't suck, like maybe like Hasbro, then, you know, maybe we'll see like a pruning of the lines, so to speak.
I mean, that's like the one good thing about gaming companies is like, if, even if a gaming company dies, someone is willing to pick up that IP and
yeah,
make a good game out of it.
They pick up the pieces usually.
Yeah.
Don't pick up Shadowrun though. Shadowrun's a cursed IP.
It's cursed.
No, it really is. Every single company that's had Shadowrun has had some sort of internal like catalyst. The one that was doing when they came out like a shot and were doing really well with fucking 60 grand all of their profits for the year were embezzled. Like every company that's picked up Shadowrun has had some sort of like theft occur internally or like. Like yeah, all of them, it's a fucking cursed game. Don't pick it up.
All right,
it's
there
dangerous.
You go. That's your game classy marketing tip for the day.
Don't if you're thinking about picking up Shadowrun to produce the game, don't do it. It's cursed.
Earl Clay asks, did the My Little Pony RPG end up crossing over with Call of Cthulhu as predicted by cynical person me?
Pony Finder. You can use Cthulhu has D20 stats. You can have him fight the ponies in Pony Finder.
You could have him fight the ponies. I think that the ponies would just defeat Cthulhu with love and friendship.
Or they would think they were defeating him with love and friendship, and then like you'd flash to reality and they're just actually like cannibalizing one another.
Yeah, I mean, that could happen too. I mean, I'm not going to argue. Let's see.
How many My Little Pony RPG sessions do you think just devolve into debauched RPing of horses fucking?
All of them.
Okay, very good.
I mean, even the one I ran with my kid. Not quite. Oh, here it is. James did put this, and I wanted to answer it as well. It's your fault. I want to renege on my principles and buy AOS.
Soul Wars?
Yeah. Soul Wars. Explain to me the difference between Warlord Edition, General's Handbook, Core Book, and if this is fully duplicated in the box set, and if any covers Mind Sorcery. Also, what are those dials about? So, as far as I know, currently what's going to be available is you could buy the Soul Wars box set, which is the box set that comes with the hardcover rulebook and all of the minis.
Yes.
Yeah. Then you could buy Malign Sorcery, which is the...
All of the spells. And the spell book, which you'll want. You'll want Malign Sorcery.
Yeah. The spells are a part of it. They're cheap. They always are going to be on the battlefield. They move around.
Yes.
I'm not a huge fan of it because I think it would be terrible for your army to have a spell that's constantly on the table that your opponent can control.
As I said, they're very potent.
They will bite you in the ass every time.
That's why I'm probably going to stick to the self buffing ones, because there's the swarm of insects that just heals your units. I'll probably keep that one.
Yeah, I mean, there's ones that might be good, might be bad. I would say that out of the entire box, there might be one that you will use for your army. Then you have the General's Handbook, which is going to be required. You want the General's Handbook. Yes. The General's Handbook is going to redo all the old armies, tell you the new point cost. They do it every year. It's worth buying.
The Warlord edition of General's Handbook is, it comes with that book, and then it comes with these cards that are insta-generate scenarios.
Yeah.
Some Triumph stuff. It's all accessories. You do not need the Warlord edition. You don't need it. You need the book, but you don't need the Warlord edition.
Yeah, the Warlord edition is nice because it comes with the dice and everything else, but...
The tokens. Those dials are... Turns and victory points.
Yeah.
Those dials are.
Yeah. It's nothing.
I got the Warlord Edition last year and I liked it. But it looks like it's mostly the same. So I probably won't be getting the Warlord Edition again.
Yeah. I would say get the Warlord Edition if you're really into playing it. So skip it this year. Get it next year. They're releasing dice, which are going to be able to keep track of wounds and command points.
Which is nice.
You're not going to have that many command points. You can use a regular dice for that. Just make sure it's not a dice that you're going to grab to roll. It's slightly different.
I think that's what the point. That's why those command dice look weird, because there are dice you can keep track of how many points you have and not accidentally grab them.
There's also terrain dice, so that when you're randomly generating terrain effects, you could use those dice as well. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. You don't need them.
I already use the ones. I use the ones from Ben Curry from the one podcast. They just say what they are on them, so you just roll them and it says cursed, and you just set it on the terrain piece.
Yeah,
they're very useful.
And then there's the Age of Sigmar. Movement thing that's like got the 3 inches and the 1 inch,
the gauge. So it's only $15.
Yeah,
I'm getting one.
You know what you can do? You could also take a piece of balsa wood and cut it to a 1-inch by 3-inch square and rectangle.
They're useful though. Those 3-inch movement trays are the movement gauges. They're actually really useful when you like Because you can set them down on the board.
So that way you could realize how far you are from the unit. Because the 1-inch and 3-inch rolls are actually kind of important.
Yeah.
That's the main difference between it. So I would say, like, a person who's brand new getting into it, buy the Soul Wars box, because that's the best deal.
Yeah, if you were brand new, buy Soul Wars core set, buy Malign Sorcery, buy General's Handbook.
Yeah.
That's it. In my opinion, that is the bare minimum that you need to really get into the game.
I'd say the bare minimum is just Soul Wars.
Yeah, I guess that's true. To get into the game, play it, at a store.
at a store. Yeah, I'm still iffy on Malign Sorcery. Steve's already bought into it.
Yeah, I think it's mandatory. I don't think you're going to be able to get away with it. I don't think you're going to be able to get away with not using it.
Well, the thing that I heard with Malign Sorcery is it also has the spell lores for the realms.
It does.
Which they've just previewed. So
you're going to need it even if you don't use any of the big spells. Even if you don't use any of the big spells, you're going to want the book.
Yeah.
So I guess if you only want the book, you can buy the digital version. It's $10. So
because part of the thing that they're doing with Age of Sigmar this time is like you're supposed to roll for what realm you're playing in, so that way you pick your spells based upon that realm.
Yeah, so for tournaments, what it's going to be is you're going to be able to pick your... Well, I believe the consensus is that when you play in a tournament, your army is going to come from a realm. So, like, say you pick the Realm of Fire, that's where you're coming from. You get to choose your spell lores from the Realm of Fire. But when you play at a tournament, the scenario is going to say what realm you're playing in. So you can still use your fire spells because that's where your army is from. But if you have spells that affect or buffs on specific realms, the scenario will dictate that. So like the Chaos Dwarves example, one of their special characters, he has +2 to cast on the Realm of Fire. Just has that rule. So if the scenario says you're playing in the Realm of Fire, he's got his +2 to cast.
Yay!
And then the big spells like the Purple Sun and stuff, they all have bonuses or changes based on where you're fighting. So like the swords, if you're on the Realm of Metal, they go farther. That's the thing.
Yeah. So I mean, I would say get Soul Wars is the mandatory number one thing.
Yeah. If you're only gonna get one thing, just get Soul Wars.
Get Soul Wars.
Because the core book has explanations of all the three, like, match play narrative and open as well.
So you get the core rule book in there, which is $80 on its own. It's $160, I think, for the set. You'll be able to get it for $120 on eBay. So at that point, you could sell the models and make back your money.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least make back a good chunk of the cost.
Yeah, a chunk of your investment.
Yeah, a chunk
of your investment. If you're only going to keep one of the
arms. Yeah, if you're not going to use any of them, you could still use that and make it back a decent amount. Then I would say General's Handbook is probably number two, what you need. That's because if you have armies that you want to play of your own,
right,
you need General's Handbook.
Because it's got your points and all that stuff. And it's going to have the allegiance abilities.
It's got all that nonsense.
And there's a good amount of changes, too. And I guess they did a lot of buffing to the non-battle tomed factions.
Yeah.
The ones that don't have a battle tome, they buffed them a lot. So I guess... the playtesters are saying that dwarves, just regular-ass dwarves, dispossessed, are one of the better armies in the game now.
Yeah, I got my dwarf army.
Regular-ass dwarves are really good, so... Yeah.
So, and then that...
Oh, because what the biggest change for them? Ironbreakers are now battle line. They're just battle line, and they've had a points reduction. So, you can fucking wreck shit with Ironbreakers.
Yeah. And then I'd say Malign Sorcery is definitely something that you should pick up. Yeah, so there you go. But once again, I'm not a big fan of the permanent spells on there. We'll see. I can't say anything otherwise.
I like them. I think they're going to add a lot of tactical stuff because there's predatory spells, which are the ones that are dangerous, where like they can kill your own ship. But there's also there's one that's called the Prismatic Wall, where you just summon a wall.
Yeah,
and just you put it in front of a unit, just like whoop, it's a wall, like that kind of stuff. Like you're gonna see spells that like I think there's gonna be like. Initial shock of like, oh, this thing's busted, and then like, oh, it's not that good, or like, oh, it really sucks if your opponent throws it back on you.
Yeah.
So there's things.
There's things. We'll do a lot more.
They're also fucking huge.
Yeah.
The models are fucking gigantic.
We'll go over a lot more of this on the next cast. Like after everything's released, Steve will have his copy, and maybe I'll have mine at that point.
Yeah, I think it should.
Because pre-order went up yesterday,
but it comes out the 30th at the end of the month, I think. So.
Yeah, so I think, like, let me just actually double check that. It'll come out next week is the week it gets released, I believe.
I don't think so. I think it's the 30th.
Oh, yeah. It's 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks from... the next cast, it should be available by the time we're recording. So
in
we'll
theory.
Be able to, yeah,
yeah,
in theory. So, yeah, it's a lot of it's going to be out. We'll go more in depth.
I mean, we could always delay our recording for a couple days to make sure we have it if we want to as well.
I go on summer break, so I can record whenever. I'm not going to do anything for the rest of my existence.
The rest of your days.
The rest of my days. So, yeah, that's the big thing. And also, next cast, we're going to go over. I'm going to make Steve give his full evaluation of Babylon 5 so far because he started watching
it. It's good.
Have you gotten any further than the first episode?
Yeah, I'm on episode like 5 or 6. They just had the episode where, like, the one dude had the living spaceship thing and then, like, hooked onto him and he got, like, bio armor. He looked like the Guyver.
Yeah. That's a terrible episode.
It wasn't that great, but it wasn't awful. Like, I don't know. Babylon 5 is weird because, like, it's, like, such a mix of, like, cool. Like oh, that's cool. And then, like, ugh. Like, that's my opinion on Babylon. My opinion on Babylon 5 so far is that. But yeah. I'm also, it's the first season of a sci-fi show, so I'm not expecting a lot.
And your boy comes in season 2, so
good. So
Bruce Boxleiter comes in first episode season 2.
Good.
So
I'm excited about that. Also, I really liked seeing Walter Koenig.
Yeah, as a Bester.
Yeah, that was really cool. I was like, it's Walter Koenig, yes. And he was really cool in the show.
Yeah,
the episode he was in, he was
Ironheart.
Badass. Does he come back?
Oh yeah, he's a big fixture in the show.
Because I like his fucking psychic powers. It was cool.
The Psycops.
That was a good episode.
It's it's such shitty 90s sci-fi, but at the same time, you're like, yes, this is everything I love about sci-fi.
Well, I mean, it's Straczynski, so like I usually like stuff he writes. So. Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. It's like you're like, oh, like, fuck yeah, I love this shit. And you're like watching it, you're like, this is done terrible, but it's so awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely.
I'm rewatching it as well. I'm doing a full rewatch, so I think I'm on episode 7 or 8.
Okay.
I'm just a few ahead.
I think we're close.
Yeah,
I'll throw some.
But
more
I don't
on.
Have to. I don't like. I literally don't have to watch. I've watched it so many times that I could tell you every episode.
I don't watch it either. I listen to it and then I look up if something interesting is happening, like visually, because most of the time, like, the visuals are shit. Although the makeup's pretty good.
Yeah, you love Veer. Is Lando. You love Lando.
Lando.
Yes. I'm a Malari. Moon-faced assassin of joy.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I love the fleshed out. The races become so fleshed out later. It's
what are they called? The
Minbari? No, not the, no, the Centauri.
Minbari, yeah, Centauri. The Minbari are the ones with the head crest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Centauri are cool. Yes. Yeah, and they had that weird fucking soul hunter episode where he had that, like, fucking dick in it, or the
vagina in his head.
The vagina in his head, and he was like, souls. I will get your soul.
Actually, a soul hunter comes back later on in a made for TV movie called Third Space, and he's played by Martin Sheen. So.
All right, then. Weird.
I know. I fucking love Babylon 5.
The one dude who played the Soul Hunter was he was in an episode of Star Trek not too long ago either. The dude who played the Soul Hunter in that episode was the guy who was sick on the planet who takes over Data's body.
Oh, yeah.
Same actor.
That wasn't not too long ago. That was like 20 years ago.
No, I watched it not too long ago.
It's like that.
The episode was both Babylon 5 and Star Trek Next Generation were many years ago. I mean, I watched the episode not too long ago.
1994.
Yeah, that was the Star Trek episode he was in. He was he took over Data's body. And he was the pervert, poivert.
Fucking love Babylon 5. Anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. Not really now because the website is like a shambles.
There are no Planet Arbitrary needs.
Yeah. Go to podbean.com/planetarbitrary/gameclassy.
Podbean.
Yeah. It'll be on the Facebook page. Go to the Facebook page /gameclassypodcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
I'm Command Throw.
You can also follow me on Instagram at GameClassyJoe. Steve is at Command Throws. Some people were asking about it because they sent me some. They slid into my DMs and were like, "Hey, what's Steve?" And it's Command Throw.
Yeah,
he mostly puts up pictures of his lunch.
Yes, I do put up pictures of my lunch.
How many bento boxes do you have?
Like 20 or so.
It's ridiculous. No one should have that many bento boxes.
I mean, I make a well. When Cole was working at the factory, I would make the bentos for both of us. So I would make 10 bentos at a time. And then I would just put them in the fridge. So, like, when I get my lunch, I just grab my bento box.
Okay.
So I have an excessive amount now for one person, but when it was the two of us eating the bentos, it makes sense. So now, I just put my food in there. It's a nice, easy way to make my lunch, and it has compartments, so I can just be like,
Yeah, that's the whole point of a bento.
Yes, it's nice. It's nice.
Yeah, actually, I want to get one of those for my daughter because she needs a new lunchbox. I'm like, that'd be really cool.
They have a million kinds. They're awesome.
Yeah, we'll go to Mitsuo Market over the summer and pick one up for her.
Yeah, that's nice.
You can also watch the show on YouTube. Let's look for Game Classy Podcasts. I don't know why anybody would watch it on YouTube, but
telling you, you should make our thumbnails hot, big-titted anime girls.
It always seems to work, but Whatever.
Get those clicks, man.
Yeah, get the clicks. Get the clicks. And then, what else am I missing? I was off. Oh, yeah, you can listen to our other podcast. We have Play On Podcast, which is all about Steve and Pat talking about E3.
Yeah, it's going to be E3 episode. Pat's super excited about
He's
E3.
He's jizzing all over
I'm
E3.
Sure he is.
Oh, that's the only reason he does the podcast is hopefully
just for E3.
Just someday.
It's just a year-long build-up for E3.
It really is for him. He loves E3 to that
that's good.
Extreme. And then you also have Deconstructing Daycare, and you have the Weeb Town podcast.
Yes, I've been putting up episodes of the Command Throw Hour of Power Hour, which is me trying to learn to get good at the new fighting game, Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, which has been pretty fun so far.
You get good or you get gone?
That's true. You get good or you get gone. I'm too old to get like super good at a fighting game, but I'm going to give it a shot. This one's pretty simple, so I might be able to get better than average on this
one. You're not doing well at it because your reaction time is so fast that the video game cannot keep up.
Actually, my reaction time is slower than average because I'm getting old.
No, that's what I'm saying. Your reaction time is so good that the video game can't keep up with it. It's like that. It's like Evangelion. That's what it is.
My reaction time is so good. Well, that's why I play characters that are about guessing. That like when you get older in a fighting game, you have to adapt. Like, how do you play the game? You either don't play it or you adapt. So my version of adapting is I try to play characters that force guessing, because if I force a guess, it doesn't matter if you're younger and you have better reaction than me, because you still need to guess. So if you guessed wrong, if it's a coin toss, I have a 50% chance to just get you. Like, you guessed wrong. So that's how you can circumvent your, like, you know, how do you overcome your weaknesses in a game? Well, figure it out. Mine is I use characters that force you to guess, so it doesn't matter that your reactions are better than mine, because that's just the way it is.
Que sera. This is a long cast. So, Steve, until next time.
I'm playing Skyrim again.
Game classy.